Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media. This is the underground. This is New Media.
Ranger fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger? Ranger fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger?
Now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
Well, in the words of the immortal Matchbox 20, the Rangers are back to good. Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Today is Thursday, May 9th. All tied up, Eddie. Got a fresh start.
That's right. Tied up, deuce, deuce. Looking good. Offense on the loose. Getting it from everybody and anybody except the guys you really wanted to get it from. But we wanted secondary scoring and maybe other than Stepan, I guess Hagler too. We've been getting it. So, way to go, boys in blue. Very happy with the effort last night, although there were some things to be frustrated about and infuriated about. The outcome was what it was. Joyous.
Absolutely, and we'll nitpick it as we do, otherwise this show wouldn't exist. But I thought for the most part, and I think maybe some people disagree with me, but I thought save for a couple of minutes towards the end of the game and a couple of minutes maybe around the middle of the game, I thought that the scoreboard doesn't show it, but I thought the Rangers were in command for most of the game.
I will concur. This was definitely the best game for them in the series, a game that I really felt they deserved to win. They outplayed the Caps for most of the game, like you said. You're astute. You're right on. You hit the bullseye with your analysis. And I thought that really, except for, you know, maybe 15 minutes of the game, it really was the Rangers who took it to them.
The Rangers.
The Rangers.
The Rangers. And if you've ever listened to a Ranger game on the radio, you'll know what that those two goofballs on that commercial. The Rangers. This is Jim and Eddie, and we're fans of the Rangers.
It was funny last in retrospect because for me, you know how the even on our Facebook group we have the like a game thread,
right?
And on the HF boards, Hockey's Future boards, they have a game thread for the Rangers. I went to the Capitals game thread, and I've never done that. I've never gone to an opposing team's game thread after the fact to see how they were, you know, they were taking it.
Right.
And, oh, my God. I mean, I don't – they were complaining about the officiating being so biased towards the Rangers. And the two home games for the Rangers, the Capitals got 10 penalties and the Rangers only got 4, and that this is so biased and the league is against us. And I'm like, I mean, it doesn't seem very ridiculous to you? If they want anything, they want Ovechkin to move on. They don't want the Rangers to to move on? What have the Rangers got to offer?
Ungots.
They did that. They then seeped into Ovechkin is he's nowhere. He's doing his act again, where he disappears. What happened? This isn't the same team. John Erskine, the revelation. He's horrible. Bring up Orlov. Bring up Kondratek. They were hammering Erskine.
Get Rod Langway back. Where's John Drews? Where's Dino Cicerelli?
Marcus Johansson has the body mass of a 14-year-old girl. I did enjoy that one.
That is a good one.
They got some witty ones over there. There's a couple of them that know what's going on, but the rest are a bunch of. And I love. See, I never thought like that whole Holtby chant. I think like, does it really annoy anybody? Oh, they hate it.
Do
they hate that Holtby chant? It gets under their skin.
They keep it going, kids.
Gets under my. And they hate that goal song. I go, guys, like, if I gotta hear this goal song one more time, I'm gonna kill somebody.
Well, now they know about how. Now they know how we feel about that ridiculous air horn.
It was so great because I was laughing at their pain. I was just like, here we go again, fire McPhee, the Teflon GM. He never wins anything. I was like, good. Screw you, Caps fans. They were all gloating, according to some of the elder statesmen there. See, I told you not to gloat after 2-0.
That's right.
But enough about them. I've already given them too much airtime, those crapital fans.
No, I love it. I love it. I love good Schadenfreude.
I revel in your pain.
That's right. Fuck you. Let me tell you a quick story about Caps fans and how I feel about them. 1994, game 3 of the series against the Capitals, my brother and I and my ex-wife and his ex-girlfriend got tickets for that dump they used to play in, I guess, the U.S. Air Arena, I think it was called at that time. And it made the Coliseum look like the Taj Mahal. But anyway, we drove all the way down to Landover, Maryland in a driving rainstorm, missed Adam Graves scoring the opening goal. It was already 1-0 Rangers by the time we got there. There were so many Ranger fans there, it was almost like a home game. We walked in and we could hear the Ranger fans chanting, "We will sweep you." Well, then the Caps wind up winning the game, I think it was 4-1. Richter actually got pulled. First game they lost in the playoffs that year. But we're sitting in front of these two Cap fans who were screaming, and I mean screaming, just like leaning over in my ear and screaming at me. And I took it.
Wow.
I took it for about 2.5 periods. Like, I was hearing all about the great Ken Klee. And all about who else was on? I can't remember now who else was on that team. Ken Klee, I remember. I'm pretty sure he scored a goal in that game. Went back and looked at the box score. But this guy,
I think I remember,
screaming in my ear the entire game, in there chanting 1940. And I turned around. I said to him, I said, "I don't see any banners hanging in this dump. Oh, give us 50 years, we'll have one." Well, you know what, you fucksticks? You're going on 40, and you ain't got one, and you ain't getting one this year either. So, as far as I'm concerned, you burned the mortgage in the cup that night. You've cursed yourselves. That I hope that team never, ever wins a cup, and their fans can rot in hell. They think they invented fucking hockey down there. So, there is not enough misery, to befall that fan base. And where were they for 10 years until they got Ovechkin? Where were they?
Nowhere. They had Yager for a couple of years. They became a little bit relevant. And then get Ovi. That's it.
Fuck them. Forever.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, listen. We stick with them. Defense seemed to be very, how can I say, half of them turned it off after the second period. which they shouldn't have because, scored at the end of the second period.
Right.
One of their ridiculous, I think it was Troy Brower got his first goal of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Just like they did last year in the playoffs, they kept coming back. And the Rangers, you know, you said the other night they can't get a two-goal lead. They can get a two-goal lead. They just don't know what the hell to do once they get there. It's like calculus.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you would think that that John Tortorella, this is how ridiculous it is. He's trying to do the same thing he did last year that ended in disaster. Again, I mean, it looks like they're killing a power play every time they get a lead. They completely go into a defensive shell. They, especially in the third period. I mean, they really, there was a point with 9 minutes left, they were sending one forechecker in. I remember seeing Brian, I can't get enough ice time Boyle. Well, actually, he had 4 minutes more than Nash did last night. Playing time. And they basically, and this is how Tortorella wants it to play out. This isn't, this is why he has to go. Despite the win, he has no idea on how to really just go for the jugular. And once you got them down, you step on their throat to them, choke them out. They got to tap out. No, he's sitting back, killing a penalty for the last half of the game and hoping that Henrik could bail him out. And, you know, they held on. There was another thing where, they're swarming around the net. They pull the goalie. It's fans have got our buttholes clenched tight waiting for something bad to happen.
Yeah.
So until this buffoon can be removed, we're not anywhere different than we were in last year's playoffs. But I think we're talking about, we are harping on all the negativity. Listen, that was a big win for the Rangers last night. I mean,
absolutely.
I'm not rooting for them to lose because I don't like the coach.
No.
I look at them to dispose of the Capitals. I liked a lot what I saw. I'm surprised that you kind of got the brunt on the Facebook page about the Girardi on the getting the power play goal when I'm the man who's really hurting Girardi. But see, this is just another thing. Now that he got that goal, Tortorella, that's even more solidified that he's going to play the power play forever.
Right. He's going to be triple shifted on that power play now.
John Moore will never see the power play again.
Because that little runt walked off the ice last night and said to Sully, "See, Sully, I was right." those two fat asses on that internet radio show in there screaming at me about Girardi. Who's laughing now? Nah.
Still, I'm sniffing at it. What's that joke? Even the sun shines on a dog's ass twice a day.
There you go.
Basically, it wasn't the greatest goal in the world. I think it was probably hope. I'm about it. I'm happy. It's he got it. It's no sense that he was on the fucking power play to begin with. But I want to do what I wanted to say. So how about this Derek Brassard? Holy Manoli, Stromboli, Chris Campoli. I mean, is this
what a
kid... What a fun! I mean, think about this, Jim. Would you think that Marian Gaborik would be having these? I don't think he's putting up better points in the playoffs than I think Gaborik would at this juncture. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just think he's so quick around the net, and he makes quick decisions, making these passes. And he's got great instincts, and you just don't... You hope the points keep coming before Tortorella starts, screwing with his head. He was fantastic. I can't say enough about this kid.
Do. Loving it.
Fantastic. Torch went back. Here's the thing I want to keep it positive, but I keep getting back to this coach. And I don't know if I texted to you during this game, and I mentioned it on one of the Facebook threads. What is up with this coach with punishing players for mistakes? You've got Steve M, 10-year, 8-year NHL vet. Does he really need to be chastised and punished by the mean stepfather for his mistake in order to learn? He knows he fucked up. He doesn't need Napoleon to remind him. Isn't it? I mean, he's a man. He wants to go out there and prove, do better the next time. Make up for his mistake. But you never get the opportunity with this guy.
You disappointed me, son. You're grounded.
That's what it's like.
They're complaining about your audio in the chat room. How's my audio? Do I sound okay? We'll try and ascertain who the problem
know.
Is.
I think Coaster is the only one that's complaining.
No, you were chopping up a little bit when you were talking. But I want to make sure it's... Jim is fine. All right, you want to hang up and call back in?
No, I'm fine.
Your good show. Your good God, show says, "Yeah, I heard it too." And Ranger Fan 80 says he sounds like he's on an acid trip.
All right, I'll call back since I got confirmation from people with brains.
Oh, wow!
I'll be right back.
All right. All right. So we'll wait for Eddie to call back in. To Eddie's point about Emminger, about him benching Emminger, but Brad Richards also saw some pine time last night. So I'll ask Eddie about that. I think about 7 minutes Brad Richards watched the game from the bench. So I'll ask Eddie about that as soon as he calls back in. He's not there yet. Oh, there he is. You're back.
Hello.
All right. So you were talking about Emminger getting benched last night. And what about Brad Richards getting... He got benched last night for about 7-8 minutes.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, he wasn't seeing the ice.
Why? He's so great. He got that empty net goal. I can't...
Well,
that was almost an all-timer.
Yeah, that was great.
Was it Hagelin shot that puck?
Yeah, the first shot was Hagelin.
Yeah.
It's addictive.
It is. And listen, I'm going to praise him. Pisey, with that great hand-eye coordination that set up that goal, stick that puck out of midair. And then he may be all hunched over and... you know, it looks like he skates like a question mark. He looks like a question mark out there with his back. But that gangly bastard picked that puck out of the air, and that was a fantastic play.
Just looking at ice time results here last night. Brian Boyle, 23 and a half minutes of ice time. Come on. I don't care what side of the Brian Boyle fence you're on. And I understand he's got his supporters. And I understand that, like me, there are people like me who think who are definite detractors. But nobody, I don't care. His mother couldn't call into this show and tell me that this guy deserves to be on the ice for 23 minutes a game. Come on. I just don't get it. Ryan Callahan is a fucking god, and nobody can tell
really
you anything different. What a game he played last night!
That was, as they say in Hollywood, a marvelous game.
I'll go with marvelous.
I mean, it really was the way he goaded. Erskine, I think.
Erskine,
into that
yeah.
penalty.
Yeah.
That goes back to
game three. That was kind of boiled over from game three. Brian boiled over.
Dan Murphy says Boyle is a 6-tool player. I think he's just a tool.
He's just a tool.
He has. I would love to see the players that should be in that role do what he does just in that one facet. He is in on the goaltender in front of that net. He is harassing the defenseman. He's getting under their skin. I would like to see Tony Dorsett, or as you know, an a la peanut butter sandwiches here.
Peanut butter sandwiches.
I like to see him more involved with stuff like that. To me, you know, I know they want
peanut butter sandwiches.
I'd much rather either in there than him. I don't think he really adds much. I know they've won two games out of, I guess, the three he's played in, but I don't see him being a factor. I thought that close return was the factor. Early on with some of the scrum he had with Alexi, where he kind of pushed Alexi all the way back to the boards, that was kind of like, listen, I'm here. I'm tougher than you. I mean, he made him his bitch. And, you know, the Rangers really didn't have much of that going up into this game, any of that bitch. And they're able to, they can be more aggressive. And I hate that the Rangers aren't really more aggressive than anybody, really. And certainly you see these other playoff series, and everybody is getting into craziness. Balls of this and this game, and I thought the Rangers got the better part of it, and they like I said, they goaded Washington at some bad penalties.
Yeah,
and Washington.
Finish your thought.
Well, I was just going to say that I thought that the way that they handled him, great. Us, I mean, they were trying to set him up for that one-timer down low. Every time they got the puck back to the point, the Ranger defenseman would kind of almost cheat to Ovechkin's side, and it cut off that pass, and they never made that adjustment, Washington, to try a different way to get OV the puck. And I tell you the truth, Ovechkin looked at times like he was disinterested in this game. And if that can happen, that would be great.
Ovechkin reminds me of Randy Moss in football. If you get physical with him and take him out of his game, he gets disinterested. And the Rangers pummeled him at every opportunity last night. Ryan McDonagh, 31 minutes of ice time. Him and Girardi were hitting Ovechkin at every opportunity.
Well,
and they took him out of his game. And he's been a non-factor since game one. A non-factor. He's got one goal in the series in four games. He's been a non-factor. This power play that we were so worried about, the Rangers have shut him down.
The only guy playing well, I'm sorry, the only guy playing well in the power play is Mike Green. Backstrom and Ovechkin, cross our fingers, have not been a factor on that power play.
Yeah, not yet. And I don't know what the overall series stats are. I haven't looked at them, but the Caps just have one power play goal in the series, right?
Right.
Or is it two? One or two?
I'll agree with any of you.
Thank you.
Seven, I would say yes.
Here, let me see. Maybe I have to see if I have to. No, that's just
Mike night. Green and overtime. Yeah, the good show. I tell you, yeah, the good show's got. He's right on top of it. Is that the one Ovechkin got, that one off the backboards that Ovi scored? I don't know. Was it the one Brashear scored for them?
Brashear? So they have, okay, so they have one or two? They have two power
I don't know. Close to saying zero now.
No, he's talking about rings. He's on a different subject. He's talking about Randy Moss. They have two power play goals. How many the Rangers have? Two or three?
You got to have at least three.
So, for all the talk about how bad, I mean, after the first game, you know, it sure looked a lot different because they think that, you know, the Rangers had given them a bunch of power plays and the Rangers' power play looked awful. But, you know, they've managed to turn it around here with the special teams. You know, I thought last night I thought for a good portion of the game they were in command. Yeah, it got a little tense at times, but that's Ranger hockey. That's this regime. That's the way it's going to be.
Yep.
But now they're, now's the real tough part. You know, I mean, we know they can win at home. We know they're a good team at home. They were 10 games over 500 at home. But now they got to, there's no way out of it. They don't win a game on the road, they're not getting out of the series. You know, there's no margin for error on the road anymore.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, they've got to come out and take it. I mean, they've got to come out aggressive and take that first period and get that first goal. And they did that in game one, I think. Yeah, they did it in game one. They got the first goal. And because the other game went to overtime at 0-0, classic defensive, classic battle. But, they did that in game one. And but they got to continue on, and this is why the power play hurts them so much, because they can't get that extra goal with the man advantage that every team, most teams would. It's basically. But what it does, though, the Rangers, not getting. If anything, the power play helps keeping Ovechkin off the ice. It ruins the flow for him.
Right.
And it's less time for him. And I think that's a key, too. Keep this guy off the ice, because really there's a lot of guys on this team. I don't know. I think the Rangers have more offensive talent than the Capitals do. The Capitals got a top-heavy, They got Backstrom, they got Green, they got Ovechkin. But after that, they're looking for Troy Brower, who had, 19 goals. They're looking at – who just got his first last night. They're looking for Joel Ward to come back from that injury. But, the way Brassard's playing, the way Stepan really had a really nice game last night, really stepped it up, really played well. Carl Hagelin with a fantastic slap shot. I mean, it was awesome. And then the pass by Brassard. I mean, the Rangers can get the goals. There's no doubt about it.
I was glad Stepan got one before the game was over last night, because he had about three chances in that game. One that he had the backhand that he put up and over the net. He played such a great game. It would have sucked if he wound up with nothing on the score sheet. So it was nice to see him get that goal. And I love his goal celebration. He just stands there, pumps both arms at once. I like it.
Yeah, he's like the happiest guy. I really like that, the fact that he. You know, he's a humble dude, off the ice, but he's just like, he's so happy when anybody scores. And when he scores, he's elated. And you're right, he had a breakaway. Did he have a breakaway where he went to the backhand and Holtby denied him? And now, I didn't think Holtby played that great of a game. I'm starting to think at some point they may think maybe we'll go with Neuvirth. I really think that could be. Now, I don't know if I'm reading into too much, because I was spent over there in Capital World for a while, because they were kind of banding that about. I'm just, for the next game, the Rangers better watch out that the Capitals adjust to that kind of cheating to cover Ovechkin when the puck's at the point, because they may have some tricks up their sleeves. But the Rangers have kept Backstrom and Ovechkin in check, and if they do that, there is no way they can lose the series. I mean, I can't say no way, but it's very unlikely they will lose the series if those two guys are kept in check, because Henrik has been very good. I know, again, last night some people questioned that goal that went, they say it hit Johansson's nameplate on the back of his they call Alsner goal. You know what annoyed me in that game, though, going back to what things do annoy me, because I'm more comfortable talking about that? The Brower goal at the end of the second period with 18 seconds left.
Yeah.
I really thought that killed them. And they came back and started the first period with a Detroit power play goal 1 minute in. So the Rangers have been able to come back. They've been able to respond. I mean, they have a little bit, they get off the mat.
Yeah, this is more resiliency. Well, I guess we saw this a little bit more in April than we did the first 3 months of the season. But boy, I'll tell you, if you'd have told me going into this series that Brian Boyle, Brad Richards, and Dan Girardi on the power play would score, I'd think, well, if you had all those goals, Nash is going to score, and Callahan, we'll be doing pretty good. We might sweep
right.
them.
Yeah.
But
the
I
ash.
Think
people, go ahead.
I just want to say that I think that one of these games, if the Rangers are going to win one this tomorrow, let's say tomorrow night, it might take a 1-0 45 save game from Hank. I really have that feeling that it's going to have to be that's what it might have to come down to. Just one of those unbelievable Emmerich having a stroke performances, you know, 45 saves. Because I think the Caps are going to come out like gangbusters tomorrow night, and the Rangers are going to have to survive the first 10 minutes of that game. I can see it being one of those games where they're just looking overwhelmed in the first 10 minutes and maybe take a bad penalty that they got to kill off. I really think Lundqvist is going to need one of those superhuman games tomorrow night for them to win. And it may be a 1-0, 2-1 type thing where he's got to make 45, 47, 48 saves. I really do. Because I think the Caps are going to be loaded for bear tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think that's a good strong possibility. And I think if the Rangers can survive that and get a lead after that, the Capitals are a very mentally fragile team.
Absolutely.
This has happened to them year after year. They shit the bed year after year, and it's basically it's going to get in their heads, here we go again. And, you know, you can say what you want to say about John Tortorella, and we say it a lot, but the players themselves are mentally tough when it comes to the playoffs. I mean, I know, you know, some of us wrote them off after two games, but the Rangers, they stick to what they know. They never start improvising. God knows. That's what the power
play is. They
don't
panic.
They don't panic. I mean, I'm not saying that against a better team they, you know, would panic. The Capitals, to me, are a very flawed team. As if the Rangers are. Listen, I'm not thinking the Rangers are going to go on to glory here. But they have a very fragile cap psyche that could crack. And I know, we all know Ovechkin. I mean, we know that he is – really, he shouldn't even be wearing the C. Because you can't have a guy just skating around looking at plays that you're captain. The real kind of captain is the one we got. And – he's doing all the things the captain needs to do. And I think the players themselves have a lot of pride. And, you know, they've played well at the Garden. I think you're right about how it's going to play out. And I think if the Rangers can get a goal or, you know, praise the Lord, two goals, they may just say, listen, this is it's again. And, you know, and they also won so many games. And so many games with that power play, they're frustrated. They're not getting the power plays. And the fact is their power play hasn't looked all that great. So their bread and butter that led them into this, you know, resurgence under Oates has basically evaporated. I don't know if they can win any other way. You know, at least that's the way I look at it. The Rangers can win a couple different ways, you know. You know, they've got Lundqvist who can win a game by himself. They just got to score. They can't go through these periods, you know, one goal in two games in Washington. They've got to score. Somebody has got to take the bull by the horns and take this damn thing. If they take this game three, they win the series. I mean, I really believe that. But
yeah, I'd agree with that. I can't see them losing games. I can't see them losing game six at home, because they've played so well at home lately. Yeah, I'd be curious to see what the Caps record is. It just would take far too much research than I can do while we're on the air. But what their record was this season in games where they score a power play goal. You know? Because it seems like without it, like you said, they've got nothing.
I mean, they have. I mean, there wasn't in game three, the 5-on-5 play, they did dominate us. You know, but they couldn't convert.
Right.
They seem to be good. They're always looking for the perfect shot. A lot of passing, too much passing. I don't know. I'm really not here to dissect what's going wrong with them.
Right.
But I think the Rangers defensively are pretty cohesive. I mean, Girardi's playing good. McDonough's playing good. Well, a lot of people are on Delzato, but that really was Eminger's fault. Eminger did not keep that puck. He got caught way up the ice. He made and then he went for a hit rather than coming back. And I know Delzato looked like a sit and spin, and then Richards was basically standing to that guy. I mean, that was just a sucky play all around, but I wasn't hanging Delzato out to dry on that. It really was Eminger's fault, the way I looked at it. But the Rangers' defense are playing well, you know?
Yeah, and so, again, I think for the second game in a row, the Rangers spent a lot of time going to the net. I mean, you know, Stepan just missed on that backhand that he put over the net, but, you know, he was driving to the net. Richard's goal, I'm taking out of the equation because there was no goaltender there, but you know, they were constantly driving to the net. They made the shots a lot tougher. You know, it wasn't just these shots with no screens right into the goaltender's chest that we see night after night after night after night. You know, I just think they're getting in front of the net a lot more than they have been and driving to the net, and good things happen. You know.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I don't think the Capitals' defense has what it takes to clear that front of the net. I mean, John Carlson and Erskine, the revelation, and Carl Alsner and Jack Hillen, that Islander retread loser. You know, Mike Green
Jack
is
Gyllenhaal.
Not the most. Jack Gyllenhaal and Jake Gyllenhaal and you got Mike Green, who's not, you know, he's somewhat of a defensive liability. He's great offensively. So the Rangers, especially, I was so excited to see Klobuchar, and he looked a little rusty last night. But just he's another guy that's around that front of that net. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens tomorrow.
Absolutely. All right, since Gina's here tonight, Gina, I have something for you by request. Here you go, and then we'll get to the phone calls.
Fudgy the Whale is back. That's a whale of a cake for a whale of a dad at your participating Carvel ice cream store. Yep, and this year your Carvel dealer makes them loaded with fudge and nuts. And you can get Fudgy with an ocean to serve 20 people. But if you want to send Fudgy the Whale to a whale of a dad anywhere in the Carvel territory, you call the phone number that you see here. Thank you, and have a happy day, Dad.
I got to tell you, that serves 20 people. That's good enough for me.
You know what's funny?
Ice cream is.
When I was a teenager, I was in the Boy Scouts, and we used to go camping once a month. And my father, I don't know where he got it, but somebody gave him this tape, and it played Reveille, and it played. What the hell was the name of the song that played at the end of the day? Vespers, I think it was called. But anyway, it was a tape of these two bugle songs, and then it was Tom Carvel narrating it. And it would be like, so this music, they'd start playing, the adults would start playing this music at 6 o'clock in the morning, and all you'd hear is Tom Carvel. Reveille, that's Reveille, and it's time to get up.
What?
I swear to God, I kid you not. And they used to play the my father and the other adult leaders
sure
used to play
this. Some bad acid trip when you were experimenting with drugs.
No, I kid you not.
Did he sponsor the audio tape or something?
I don't know. Maybe he just got, I don't know. Maybe they paid him to just do a voiceover on this tape that they sold. I don't know where it came from. My father got it from somebody and brought it on one of our campouts. And there it was.
Well, for a voiceover, he had the graveliest. I'm Fudgy the Whale.
But that's maybe that's, you know, maybe that was the idea to scare you out of your bunk, you know.
Gravelly.
Right.
Giant cookie opus. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he puts out a weird voice, didn't he? Anyway, when we digress.
So, you know, you're laying in bed at 6 a.m. and then all of a sudden you hear, Reveille!
Also, anybody hear anything about Martin Erak? He took a big spill into the net.
Oh, that's a shame. No.
We got to get up.
We don't talk about the other team's injuries. Next question.
Rangers had 34 shots. That's pretty good.
Yep.
They had 30 shots. Okay. You want to get to the calls, see what people think?
I am ready to go to the calls because we've only got about 20 minutes left.
Okay.
All right. So let's go to Stan. Stan, how are you?
Good evening.
Good evening, my friend.
I'm doing okay.
Oh, last time I talked to you, it was, forget about it. It's all over.
Yes, I was rather pessimistic about their chances. Well, when you score one goal in two games, it's hard to be optimistic.
Hey, I was right there with you, Stan. You weren't alone.
Yeah. Well, some of us know, see the long picture instead of the short picture. I am able to use my Swami-like skills. I foresaw the Rangers getting healthy at home.
Yeah, sure.
What do you mean, sure? I know I'm documented on internet radio saying this stuff.
We have to be pleased with them getting, not just winning, but, you know, actually scoring four goals in two straight games is amazing for this team.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Where do you see them going now? Do you see them going back into the tank, or are we on a run here?
I really don't know. In my opinion, doesn't, you know, it's going to have any effect on the game. You know, the thing was amazing. In the Washington, when they were played in Washington in the second game, they put up a stat that the Rangers had scored 9 goals in their last 9 playoff games in Washington, which is, you know, not good, to say the least.
To say the least.
And that didn't even include the one where they got shut out. So it's like 9 goals in 10 games. So, you know, I don't know what it is. They're obviously going to have to score more than one goal down there. I'm not expecting another 1-0.
I think they're due.
I guess they are, yeah. You know, another thing about I wasn't sure about the Gabbert trade. First of all, I wasn't familiar with the players on Columbus because who is outside of Nash? Nobody knows their players. But obviously, Brassard looks like a real good player, and so does Moore. I think he's going to be a real good defenseman, you know, in the next few years. So he's only a kid still. Dorsett, to be fair, you're going to have to wait till he's 20 games into next season to get a real opinion of him. The thing I've seen so far, he's not a fast skater, which concerns me, and he has a penchant for taking penalties. You know, he led the league in penalties last year, so obviously, that's not something that you want to see in the playoffs. You know, the regular season against the Flyers or the Islanders, you know, he's going to be mixing it up. But right now, you don't want him taking, you know, penalties.
Right.
I already can assess Derek Dorsett. If he wasn't on Columbus, he would be in the AHL. He's slow as shit. He doesn't do anything. I'd rather see Kreider in there. It's ridiculous that he's got a position.
You know, yesterday I was driving around and I was listening to The Fan, and the Ron Duguay was on. And one of the first questions was, can you explain why Kreider isn't in the lineup? And to paraphrase Duguay, he really didn't have an answer as to why. You know, he tried to give some of the reasons why Tortorella hasn't put him in. But his basic theme was that, this is nuts. And that's the theme of most every, you know, all the writers in New York and the papers and stuff. They were saying, you know, how come this guy isn't playing? It's just nuts.
Well,
I mean, I think Tortorella's the only guy in this realm of hockey who doesn't think he should be playing.
Pretty much.
No, I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
Certainly, you know, I mean, over a guy that never played a game as a Ranger and over a guy that's produced in the playoffs last year, Derek Dorsett gets the nod in Tortorella's mind. Makes no sense.
Right. He comes out of nowhere. It's not like Tortorella had any idea what Dorsett was capable of because the guy's been hurt. So he comes right off the injury list and right into the lineup. It defies logic.
It's one of the reasons that they're going nowhere with him as coach. But
yeah, it's not like it's Crosby coming off of the injury list.
Right. Right.
You know.
And it's not like a guy you know that has offensive capabilities. You know what he is. He's a fighter. He's going to take penalties, which have no business being in the playoffs. You know there's no fighting in the playoffs. So why is he playing him? So, I don't know, Stan, if you heard last week's show, but last show.
I missed it.
Okay. Our friend Steve Schaefer was at the game, and Steve is a guy who knows where all the players come out and everything, and he saw Kreider, and he said to Kreider, I can't wait to see him in the lineup once this asshole coach is fired. and Kreider smiled and said, thank you. Mm-hmm. Even Kreider knows the fans are behind him, and he's got to be saying, what the hell's going on here? I'm the fastest guy on the ice next to Hagelin, and I can't get in this lineup?
Right.
I tell you, I think he's actually faster than Hagelin because he's bigger. He's got a longer stride.
And speaking of, Hagelin played really great last night. He was really good. He was a difference maker out there. And then Callahan is unbelievable. I know we could say it to the cows come home, but he really is just – he plays like a captain, man. I just –
Yeah, in fact, my kid came back from California the other Tuesday, so he was here last night and watched the game. He said, "Yeah, he wonders if Callahan's going to be the Olympic captain on the Olympic team next year."
Yeah,
he could be a good choice.
Oh, definitely. And he learned everything, according to Sam Rose. He learned everything from Chris Drury about that.
Oh yeah. All right, Stan.
All right, keep me on.
Will do.
Okay.
We'll talk to you, Stan.
All right,
thanks,
take care.
Stan. All right, let's go to...
Stan, not giving my props. Oh, and the Penguins have gone up.
Yeah, I see that. Adam, what's going on?
Hey, guys, how are we doing tonight?
Good, how you doing?
Fantastic.
Pretty good. Oh, yeah, me too. You know, that goal in the Bach off just let up was a joke. That's one of the worst playoff goals I've ever seen given up.
Oh, now it's
oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was terrible. Nabby, whatever. Anyway, so I had a story from yesterday that I thought was pretty cool. So I'm at Wheaton College, and I'm going there to follow up about a job that I'm really looking to get in financial aid. So I visit Human Resources. I'm walking back to my car, and in front of me there's this guy walking, you know, shaved head, a little bit taller than I am. He's got a backpack on. I notice he has this red T-shirt on, and I can't help but notice that the backpack is covering most of the shirt up, and on the left side up top, I see the letter O, and on the right side, I see I-N. I'm thinking, wait a second, am I seeing what I think I'm seeing in suburban Chicago?
Oh.
I look closer, and up top, I see the Reebok logo. You know, it doesn't take a genius to figure out where this is going. He was wearing an Ovechkin T-shirt. And just right there, I'm walking right behind this guy. I snuck up right behind him, and I screamed, "Let's go, Rangers," right in his ear. And he looked around like he saw a ghost.
That's
funny. And I said, "I bet you didn't expect to hear that today." And he goes, "No, I really didn't expect to hear that today." I'm like, "Are you from what?" It was like he was like transplanted from the deep south or whatever. So, I'm even invading Capitals fan. Any Capitals fan I could find, I'm invading them even in the Midwest. There's still work to be done. So,
They just Ovechkin. Do they really have fans in Chicago? They're like old. They're just bandwagons on Ovechkin, probably. You know,
probably. Yeah. Well, it's a college that gets people from like everywhere. So yeah, they have like international students and whatnot. So there's probably even a couple of Ranger fans that go there. You never know.
All right. Oh, so what? Where do you see the series going?
Boy, oh boy! I really agree with what Jim said. I think it's a matter of taking the first 10 minutes and, you know, again, staying out of the penalty box just like they did. You know, because I fear the power play a lot more in the Verizon Center than I do fearing it in Madison Square Garden. Because those fans are going to be rabid. You know, obviously, even if they are bandwagon fans, they are pretty loud. So. They have to understand that, and I think they know what they have to do. I think the Rangers know what they have to do. They just have to keep the game low scoring, just slowly take them out of it. And if they have an opportunity, if they have those big opportunities, they can't be hitting the post like they were, you know, like Nash was in Game 2 in those big moments. You know, if they could get a lead, put it this way, if they can get a lead, I've got a feeling it is really going to surprise the Washington crowd and the Washington players and the Washington coaching staff, because I really think that they're expecting to win this game. So I think Washington is still mentally fragile. I don't care who the coach is. So I think it's up to the Rangers to exploit that.
Right. And I think that the fan base and the team, again, they're waiting for something bad to happen. If the Rangers can make that happen, they're going to be on the ropes. I really think that. But, you know, what do I know, Stan? I only predicted that the Rangers come back. But, yes. And, you know, I found this interesting, guys, that a lot of – and this didn't get much media here, if any – that McDonough said that Ovechkin looked tired after Game 3. Did you guys hear about that? And they really felt that – Ovechkin would use that as a catalyst in Game 4, because basically Ovechkin retorted, "I don't care what he say." It's once again his grasp of the English language is just phenomenal. Artie was adorable.
You said it.
Listen, I don't care. I'm comfortable with my heterosexuality to say that. And he didn't show up. So that they played that, and they also were getting on Oates for giving him the whole day off the day before. And I don't know. I know Callahan has that room solidified and all thinking. And listen, we made. Dislike Brian Boyle's role with the Rangers right now because of the coach. But there's something about him that the other players like and the coach likes about what he brings to the dressing room and the whole whatever intangible it is, because it's certainly not his intangibles on the ice. I mean, except in certain areas. So I think the Rangers are mentally tougher. If anything, they have a big advantage in that.
I don't know. Maybe the Capitals need to bring back Jason Arnott, being that he was such a great leader. You know, if we remember those days, it was like, oh, Jason Arnott, and like he was Mark Messier. Maybe that's what they need.
Well, he's retired now, I think, right?
We actually had him this season, right?
Yeah, he failed the physical.
By 10 seconds?
Oh,
I barely remember. I remember him about as well as Mike Rupp.
Oh, Sam. Oh, Joe.
That was so sad that we had to let go of him.
Yeah. He had a great career.
He did.
All right, funny, I failed the physical the day after, too. I could do something Jason Arnott can. Fail Ranger physical.
All right, Adam, we got to run. You want to stay on hold? Or?
That sounds good.
All right.
Leave me on hold. Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Brett,
what's going on?
Hey, Jim, what's going on?
How you doing?
Well, I just want to say, breaking news from Josh Gimble. This cannot be confirmed or denied, but since this is a ridiculous program, we'll repeat a rumor or a non-substantiated fact.
All right.
Jason Arnott is an alcoholic and has a cottage by Josh Kimball's grandmother.
Interesting. Interesting.
All right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks,
well,
all right.
I think we've already said that we can't say this as many times as we can, but I don't give a shit, and I'm going to say it again. Ryan Callahan is the best Ranger on the ice as of this point, and he has been for the past probably year.
I will go with that.
I won't disagree with you.
I watch him every single night, and I mean, there are just some players that look completely burnt out and just outgassed every single game, and yet he comes out in game two and had five hits within like the first 11 minutes of the game, if I'm correct. I don't see how this guy does it every night in and night out. He just absolutely amazing.
And that's been a problem. Not a problem, but it leads to injuries, and in this shortened season, thank God, we've had the benefit of that, and he hasn't gotten really hurt except for that thing when he popped his shoulder out or something when
fight.
But I certainly agree with you. He is doing the things you need to win playoff games in every regard. He's great at every end of the ice. There isn't anything he does badly. I mean, there's not a weakness to his game. And I just would love to see that other players feed off that. And maybe it is. We've certainly seen some guys get a little bit better in the playoffs. Boyle has played better. He certainly doesn't deserve 23 minutes of ice time. But he has played better. Listen, you got to give credit when these guys, they do well. They get some goals. I mean, I don't know if any more goals are going to be coming. Like I said, I'm not going to start the Brian Boyle parade with Jim, and Jim, like Jim said, but
let's start putting every goal on the refrigerator here.
That's what it's all about.
Let's all get a kiss and tap on the ass.
So, Brett, where do you see the series going as we wrap it up here? We're running out of time.
If they can win Game 5, they're not losing Game 6. It's as simple as that. If they win Game 5, they will not lose Game 6.
I like that. All right.
But
so there we are.
Stranger things have happened. All right, Brett. And Penguins are up 3-0. Crosby just scored.
Oh, Acosta's going to cry himself to sleep on his wee pillow.
Yeah, well, he'll be hanging out at the Instigators, I'm sure. All right, Brett.
Take care, Brett.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
Bye.
All right.
Yo, I just want to say yo, before we go.
Well, I think we have James on hold. If you want to talk to James.
Oh, James?
Real quick.
Oh, bring James on, then.
James, is that you?
It's me. What's up, guys?
How you doing?
James, how are you, man?
I'm doing all right. I just figured I'd give a call, let you guys know I'm still alive, but barely, watching this team and stuff, We live and die with them, and, man, I was sitting there like everybody else. You're talking pins and needles or down biting your nails, nail biters. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's par for
never
the
easy.
It's never easy, you know that.
It's never easy. We can never score a damn empty net goal. I don't remember the last time I seen one. I swear to God, man. These guys.
Well, Richards, last night.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there you go. But, man, it would have been nice, like you said, when they, especially that, the game where they had, they pulled Holtby there where they had we had the penalty at the end of the game there. And, it's like, okay, it's 6-on-4. And you're like, it's like you were hoping to get like a, you're hoping for an empty net, before that, or, just as that's happening, you hope you get possession, because for some reason we can never get freaking possession, but when it's the other way around, we stay in the box, I guess, and it's just, you wait, they're doing a great job. I mean, they're taking the lanes away, and everything's looking good, but, man, you have to be so patient, and I guess these players are taught that, but, man, I get impatient, because I want to see something happen, because it always goes down to those last few seconds.
All right, James. Well, we got to go. We're in the last 10 seconds, aren't we, Jim?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, guys. I'll catch you next time, for sure.
James, we'll talk to you next time. Thanks for calling in.
Not a problem. Good talk
Take
to you guys.
Care. This just in. Exclusive to the Blue Shirt Underground world. This is just reported. WFAN reportedly will drop its 660 format for CBS Sports Radio come January.
Huh. So where's WFAN going to stay on FM?
I guess so. I don't see. I don't know. I don't see how they don't have the. You can't get the listenership on FM radio. Interesting.
Yeah. They, wow. Well,
that's good news for us.
All I know, Jim, is it's Blue Shirt Underground till I die. You know what I'm saying? Until my dick is in the dirt. Blue Shirt Underground Radio's all I know. I'm a Ranger fan till my dick is in the dirt.
Wow.
That's right, motherfuckers.
Wow.
I'm a hard... The Notorious F.A.T., baby. Blue Shirt Underground Radio's all I know. I'm a Ranger fan till my dick is in the dirt. Oh, boy. All right, so we'll end it on that note. Good luck car shopping.
Who is that, Frankie?
I added Frankie to Facebook group. He hasn't responded yet.
I saw that. He posted in there something the other day about that Miles Standish guy he called in to talk and touting Miles Bell, whatever. He posts his big, long diatribe. I'm like, who the fuck let him in here? That was you, huh?
Yeah. Listen, I was feeling generous.
Apparently.
I still... Yeah. All right, big man.
All
Ladies
right.
Gentlemen, I love you.
I don't know when we'll see you people again, but check us out on Facebook. We'll let you know.
Yeah. Take care, everybody.
Good night, everybody.